and refuge of my soul. Redemption comes.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to WCNO. I'm Luann Linnegan, and I'm with
James Rich.
And Pastor Tom Gokin.
Pastor Tom Karras.
I forget sometimes other people have voices. It's not me, myself, and I. Just me. And we're here at the King's Table, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I just want to be clear on that. Last week, we said that you would be coming to visit at the King's Table. And James is like, we just want to make it clear. It's not Pastor Tom's table. It's the King Jesus.
She didn't mean you were the king.
He's so like,
we'll be next week. The king will be here at the King's Table.
Yeah, at the King's Table.
Pastor Tom. The way she said it, it sounded like she's calling you the king.
Oh, well, I am a king.
You are a king.
Yeah, I am. Amen. Don't take my kingship away from me, James.
Amen. Jeez. Amen. So, and with that, I also want to say that you can reach me if you want prayer, if you just want to talk, if you want to give a testimony on the things that you're hearing on Kingdom Recovery at 631-745-7980. Also, you can get Pastor Tom's new book. If you contact me, I can get one to you. And or you can call the station if you want to. And that's 772-221-1100. So that's the information for this week. And also that I'm going to be doing some ministry work with the Love Center. And it's for people who are homeless who work and can't afford rent. And it's I'm going to be helping with the spiritual part of their program, which I'm very excited about. So you could also reach me if you want some information about that. And that's in Fort Pierce. So there's some housing for people who are employed or receive funds and can't afford today's rents. So there's a place that you can go. So again, my number is 631-745-7980. So Pastor Tom, I left you a message. What was on your heart? And you were talking about maybe sharing on seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall follow, come to you. And so I went into some of my notes, and I read Pastor Tom's daily reflection, I'm going to call it. He takes scripture and then he'll break it down so that it's more digestible for me, at least. I mean, I get a lot out of it. So on January 22nd, you spoke about the instrument of freedom being the scripture, John 8:32, which was, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I suggest people go on the website of Treasure Coast Victory Center because you can get a lot of information. You can listen to sermons and you can get the daily reading. And so I'm not going to read this one because I want to read today's, but this led into today's, and they usually do. I mean, when you're, God doesn't, you know, he's very predictable in a lot of his stuff. Yep. And it's usually, and then he leads us to want to talk, to talk about things that we were, that he was leading us up to talk about. So today's reading is, what is the truth? So I'm going to read this one, and it says, for as much as you know that you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. And that's 1 Peter 1:18, 19, and 22. And Pastor Tom writes, you know, not wish, not hope, but you know you were redeemed. You are not going to be redeemed. You are redeemed. The price has been paid. The blood has been shed. You are redeemed, spirit and body. If my spirit has been redeemed and my body has been redeemed, then why don't I always live righteous and healed? That's a good question. And I'm sure there are so many people asking that question. Because your soul was not redeemed, your soul has to be renewed on the word of God in order to make the connection between your spirit and body. What you think will determine how you live. In this verse, Peter declares that you must purify your soul by obeying the truth. The truth is what the word says about you. If the word says you are righteous, then obey the truth. The word says you are victorious, then obey the truth. The word says you are healed, then obey the truth. The word says you are redeemed, bought with the blood, so obey the truth and live redeemed. I will not disobey the word and claim to be sick, a sinner, or defeated. I know I have been redeemed. So I will resist and stand against anything that is anti-redemption. I will allow his word and redemption truth to get into my soul and cause it to be purified. Soon you will prosper and be in health, even as your soul, your mind, emotions and will prospers. And that's in 3 John 2. So when I was reflecting on seek first the kingdom of God, because I've been doing my own, study with the Lord. He's been revealing to me that seeking the kingdom is seeking where he is working in a day and what he's doing and joining him, because he's always working. Jesus said, my Father is always working, and that I must do the work of my Father. So he's revealing more and more about what the kingdom is like here on earth as it is in heaven. God's always working. He's always doing something in everything. And wherever I go, I bring the kingdom, then I should be looking to see where God is working in someone else's life, in a situation, in my own life. And then joining his will and not me saying, God, this is what I'm going to do today. Work through me. But what are you doing today, God? So my prayers have been really changing. And you've been sharing this and preaching it for a long, long time. And I've been practicing it. But now I'm getting a greater revelation. So I want to share that with the people listening. I want to share, what your thoughts are on this also.
Yeah, well, first of all, I've been preaching it a long time. Yeah. Not a long, long time, because no. I'm not that old. So that couldn't possibly be it. But yeah, before I got born again and before I, came into the kingdom of God, basically, at that time, I was living a very dull, complicated life. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're down here and you don't really know what's going on in the kingdom or about right. the kingdom, I mean, you do the same thing every day. You get up, you do this, you do that. You never got any time. You go to work, you pay for your bills and all right. that. And once I got born again, and God touched my life at that time, basically, I still led a complicated life. I was so busy still, Just because you get saved all at once, it doesn't mean you don't have to pay your bills.
Right.
You don't have to take the kids to school. You don't have to cook anymore. You don't have to eat anymore. No, all that stuff's still there once you get born again. So I went to the Lord, and I wanted something to uncomplicate my life. And that's when he gave me Matthew 6:33, that basically says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Mm-hmm. And he told me if I just spent some time meditating that scripture word by word, that I would learn about the kingdom, learn how to operate in the kingdom, and my life would no longer become complicated mm-hmm. because it would simplify it. And of course, Jesus is the one who said that. And I mean, he wasn't complicated at all. You don't see him tearing his hair out or going crazy or worrying about anything because he knew what he was supposed to do. So as I read that, and basically I saw it and knew it, I was there for a purpose. First of all, it told me, so I stopped at the first word, seek. So I looked at seek. I said, well, what do you mean by seek? And of course, seek, you know, is something that you pursue something. You go after something. You want something bad enough to go. It's not something you just casually say, well, you know, maybe I'll do it today. Maybe I won't do it today. But seeking basically is a diligent thing, according to the word in the Bible, to where you're going after something to actually discover it and find it, and you're not going to stop until you do. I thought to myself, it's like if you lose your cell phone in this day and age. I mean, forget it. You ain't doing anything else till you locate that cell phone someplace in your life because you think you need it so bad. So it was the same way with seeking. I found out that seek, and then I read in the Bible where the kingdom of God is like a treasure. Well, we all know what treasure is, you know, whether it's gold or silver, whatever it is, and basically it was like a treasure. It was also a fine pearl, you know, that you got, that you would find, and then you would go after and you would pay for. So I found out to seek was something different than just, you know, hide and go seek or all the stuff we learned when we were younger. But seeking is a strong desire to go after something and a diligence to continue to go after it and pursue it until you find it. So basically, I knew right off the bat I was going to have to seek, and it tells you what to seek. Seek the kingdom of God. And for a long time, I sought the king, but it doesn't tell you really to seek the king. You know, the church teaches go after Jesus, get Jesus. But Jesus never said go after me. He said go after the kingdom of God, basically. And Jesus is your way into that kingdom to begin with. So I had to start studying the kingdom of God. And I learned that, you know, sometimes we get into spiritual things and they get so spooky. You know, it's like a Star Wars of the kingdom of God or something. But when I started studying, I found out it's just a government.
Yeah.
It's just simply a spiritual government, just like in the natural realm has a government. And the Bible says in, I think, Isaiah 9:6 that basically Jesus came and he brought the government upon his shoulders back into the earth realm. So I had to start looking at things more naturally than I did before as a government. And when you look at government, if that was God's idea, then I thought it should be everywhere. And as I thought about it, it is everywhere. You know, if you own a business, you have the king, then you have the whatever CEOs, you have the next layer. And it goes all the way back down to families. You know, families should be set up as a kingdom.
That's right.
In other words, you got the man of the house, you got the woman of the house, you got the kids, and right on down. And everything basically is like a government. Governmental thing to where the ruling goes and people make laws and decisions and that kind of stuff. So I started looking at it as a spiritual government, and that took some of the spookiness out of the kingdom of God. People all the time talk about the kingdom of God, but most people who say kingdom of God have no idea what the kingdom of God is. They think it's a cloud or a puff of smoke or something out there. But no, it's an actual thing that God set up, a government that he wants to run, and he runs, and he has set up basically, and it's really the only government that's working. You know, all the other governments out there aren't doing very well. You take socialism, you take communism, you take everything else. They may be good for a while, but then they get corrupt because they have a corrupt leader. And we have corrupt people running the government, where in the kingdom of God, we don't have that problem because the king there is not corrupt. He's not after everything for himself. He's already got everything. He's not out to rob us or depress us or anything else. So I started studying the kingdom of God because I wanted to live in the kingdom of God more than in the world. And I found out the kingdom of God was a much better place than the world's government and the world's places. So I just started seeking what the kingdom was and what it talked about and stuff.
And even when you learn about and when you read the word of God, he talks about kingdoms of the world. They don't even work. It's God's kingdom that we need to seek, because people were seeking a king, but a man rather than in God. You know, so it's really important. And I learned as I study with the Lord and, you know, under you and under other literature and preachers that teach this also, I've learned it's easier to digest and to live a life under God's kingdom than it is under the world systems and old belief, you know, wives' tales and generational belief systems. For me, it is. It broke me from those chains of, you know, expectations or even expectations, really, they were. Because if I did this, then I would get that. If I didn't get that, then what was I doing wrong? It was like beating myself up or the people, places, and things around me weren't complying to satisfy my needs. Having other things outside of God. God just wants to supply. That's who he is. He's a giving God. He's a loving God. He gave first. And he wants to constantly pour it out on us. But if I don't seek where he is in a daily way, you know, and first we have to be born again, because it says you can't even see the kingdom until you're born again. So if I don't receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, my Lord, you see, a lot of people say, yeah, I believe, you know, Jesus is, they're stuck at the Savior. I'm going to heaven thinking. But there's so much. You're in heaven right now. You don't have to die and go to heaven, you know, into that place, because technically that's not even for us. The earth is for us, our body suit. He's going to give us a new body with a new earth when he comes back and he redoes everything for us. But here on earth, we're supposed to be walking in the kingdom every day of every day. And in this reading, you talked about the soul. And that's the limitation for us. That's what keeps us bound in chains and in lies, fake news. You know, like what our parents tell us, what the teachers tell us, what the world tells us, how we need to be and how we need to access things in life. And some people like to take shortcuts. So if I work hard enough, I'll get this. Or if I cheat good enough, I'll get that. But God just wants to give it all to us because it belongs to us because of what Jesus did for us. So, and we want to share that with people because knowing the kingdom is the key. You know, it's not about what I can do, but what he already did. So,
and when you're born again, basically, like you mentioned before, the truth is important.
Oh, so important.
Because up until the time and you get with the Lord and the Holy Spirit and actually the Word of God itself, you don't really know what the truth, you think you know what the truth is, but it's not. But most of the truth you thought were truth before you started renewing your mind were killing you and you didn't even know it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what people think. Well, I got born again now. Now what? I can't go out and party all night long and I can't do this. God's removing all these good things. Mm-hmm. No, if you want to go out and party, you can go party. I mean, God don't care. It's up to you. You know, He ain't going to persuade you. You're not supposed to. Why is it? It's not because he gets mad at you, but because you're killing yourself. Right. And as your child, he's not really interested in you killing yourself as your child and cutting it short because you have a purpose here on the earth right now. So sin all at once, you see it in a different light. Yes. It's not a light of, I ain't having any fun. I can't do what everybody else is doing. Why is this happening? You see it as a loving father helping you, just like you would a little kid, you know, who's 3 years old. You wouldn't let him run out in the middle of the road. He may get mad because he thinks it's going to be fun out there. Mm-hmm. But you don't let him out there. So basically, sooner or later, hopefully he learns the truth before he gets much older.
Right.
I mean, you don't want to have to tell him when he's 18 mm-hmm. to stay out of the middle of the street. By then, he ought to know something. And I think God does the same way, and truth's the same way. It comes a little bit at a time. Like, you get a little revelation of it, mm-hmm. and you think you got it all, but then God adds more scriptures to it, and then you find out you didn't know nothing when you thought you knew something, and it just keeps growing. And once you get to that truth, the revelation of it, that's the time that it sets you free.
That's right.
When it sets you free, there'll be no more wanting in your soul for things that you used to want, because now you see them in a different light as basically lies and killers rather than the other. And the Bible, of course, says, my word is truth.
Amen.
So if you're going to get any spiritual truth, you've got to get it from the Word of God.
That's
you just
right.
can't make up your own. You can't. And that's why kingdoms are so different, because we never lived under a kingdom.
Right.
We don't know what they are. We lived in a democracy and every man for himself and whatever the people want. But a kingdom's so much different because the king is the only ruler. And what the king says goes.
That's right.
And you can't argue. When your dad was king of your house and told you something, you argued with him for 2 weeks trying to change it. Well, maybe you got it changed and maybe you don't. But God's not going to change. What God said is, I don't care if the rest of the world goes in the opposite direction.
Right.
It don't matter. The king has already spoken. Abortion is wrong. You know, there's marriages between a man and a woman. That's the way it is. He made those statements and he set the law down. So we're not going to change that. And the second thing I learned was he's the owner of everything.
Amen.
Now, that helped me quite a bit, because I thought I was the owner of everything. And when I found out he was, I thought he was stealing everything that I thought I had, not knowing that it was his to begin with, and I just didn't know it belonged
Amen.
To him, because he's the king. He owns everything. But he's a king who wants to disperse. He wants to give us things. He wants, my father wants to give you the entire kingdom, the Bible says.
Amen.
So he was no longer against me in a way, you know, as you grow up in religion and stuff. Sometimes you think he's on one side and you're on the other side, and you really don't think you're going to win, because he's probably going to win, you know. You're outnumbered.
Yeah.
So basically, as you start getting on his side with him, it seems to work better, because now you're working together, co-laboring together.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit of truth on the inside of you is bringing more and more truth. And it frees you up, you know, even like I mentioned, in your finances. If you don't own anything and God wants you to give something away, it ain't yours anyway. You just go ahead and sow it, basically. And
Amen.
It changes the way you look at finances. It changes the way you look at people. It changes the way you look at everything. And that's what truth does as you get in the kingdom. But you've got to study kingdom, because like I say, it'd been different if we were born and raised in a kingdom. Then we'd have more idea of how the kingdom operates, how it goes. You know, the king owns everything, blah, blah, blah. His word's final, and that's the way it is. But since we grew up in a democracy, it's a little bit different. We think we can, you know, persuade God a little bit. If we be real good, you know, we can change some of the laws mm-hmm. he's got in there that we don't particularly like. But you're going to find out every law that you find in your Bible is good because he made it for us.
Out of love, exactly, to protect us and to give us the access that we need to be free and mm-hmm. to prosper and be in health. Mm-hmm. Like it says, the truth is what makes us free. That's the power that we get. And Jesus says, I am the truth. So if I'm seeking him, seeking the kingdom and his way of living, then those things start to happen in my life. I don't even have to try anymore. I start to walk in them because mm-hmm. I already had them. I just didn't know it until the scales start coming off. Then you're like, wait a minute. I am walking in righteousness, holiness, and it's okay to say that. It doesn't mean that I think I'm better. It's because it's what he already did. It's not because I did it. It's because he did it. And then the scales come off, the eyes of the heart, and the truth. And because it says that we have to, confess that he's the Lord and Savior and believe in our heart. That's where the soul transformation starts, in the heart. When I truly believe, and, you know, no one can seek for me. I have to do the work. It's a personal relationship with God. I can't rely on someone else's relationship to receive the benefits that God already supplied for me.
Right.
Because even if I get them, I won't understand them. I'll misuse them, abuse them, or I might even miss them for myself, for what their purpose for. You said even in our finances. Once I got the revelation that God owns everything, money lost power over me.
Right.
Oh, my God. And, you know, because it doesn't matter how much or how little you have. It's a mindset that had to be set free mm-hmm. in the truth. And it was knowing that, what am I worried about? If God wants this for me because he's using me in this area, then he'll supply it. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that. I don't even pray for finances or anything anymore. Because I know whatever I have, it's for him, it's his, and he'll disperse it as he gives me directions. I just got to make sure I'm seeking the kingdom mm-hmm. on a daily basis so that I know where he's working so that I can be used by him to manifest his glory in someone else's life, in my own finances, you know. And that's what truth does. It frees our soul up from being attacked by the enemy, really, and the world. And the enemy comes in, you know, it's like even in the Word, we think we know the Word, but when we start sitting in the Word, like all the, and we say, well, how do we study the kingdom? How can we study? Just start reading the Word, mm-hmm. and the kingdom will reveal itself to you.
Yep.
You know, it's amazing because when you talk about, you know, knowing kings, knowing good kings, bad, it's all in the Bible. God supplied everything that we need, that the Holy Spirit needs for us to teach us and lead us and guide us into all truth. So the Holy Spirit is the one that will be teaching us if we give God the time.
If
we give God the time. And that is a big thing because that's what we can't allow our children or our job or all those things to get separate us from him, you know.
And even with finances, my whole life, and you know, I was going to live in my family like I was a supplier. I had a supply. I had to work
right.
8-10 hours a day. I had to do this. I had to do that. But once I found out that everything belonged to him anyway, it changed my source.
That's wonderful.
Which was a key. Now, it's no longer the source of my finances, no longer the source. He was the source. And I found out that he could probably do better. You know, the Bible says riches according to his glory in heaven. I was just trying to do it according to my job, for goodness sakes. And it wasn't working
and
out better.
And your family.
So, you know, one truth leads to another truth, leads to another yeah. truth. And it just continues to set you free to where you no longer have to worry about certain yeah. things that you worried about in your life before. Every time I put up my Christmas lights, it's like this. I've got a long orange cord that runs from the back all the way up to the front, and then I put the lights on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
But the long cord won't get to the fence. So the power's over here in the orange cord, but here in the light, they're not shining any light. So I got to get an extension cord
Amen.
To put between one. And your extension cord is that thing right up here between uh-huh. your ears. That's the soul. So you've got all this power in your spirit once you're born
right.
again, and you've got an opportunity to light up in the world out here.
Body, yeah.
But if you don't connect with the extension cord and the renewing of your mind, you'll never plug in and it will never work. And nobody will ever see much of a change in your life because you didn't make the connection of your mind.
Right. And it's, you want to say something, James?
Well, I always end up a little behind, but when we were, he was talking about God's laws are good and he's doing it for our good and we feel like they're not. I immediately thought of, and I never thought about this, that when Satan was tempting the woman and he said, you shall not surely die if you eat the fruit and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. I said, the next verse here says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desirable to make one wise, she took and ate. And I thought, well, that's what the enemy's doing right now. He makes all these things desirable.
Seek, yeah.
The Lord says not to do. He just makes them so desirable that we feel like we're losing out, just like she was feeling.
Amen. And that's the key right there. It's like, what are we seeking in our lives? What we have to seek, which we're always going to be looking for something to, you know, supply whatever it is that we're called to do, even if it's not lining up with God's call. But, you know, when we are lined up with God's call, we don't have to get it for ourselves. He will supply it for us. And there was something else you said that goes with that, because that scripture came up for me too about knowing the truth. She saw it was good, and it was out of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. We didn't never had to know about evil. We were living in goodness, in God's goodness all the time. But the fact that and he twists, or the world, you know, I don't like to give the devil credit for everything, because he really, you know, he's just using everything that God does, and we choose, you know, what we're going to believe and listen to. So what I'm going to eat off of or feed off of in a day is what I'm going to start to believe. I believed when I beeped the drug dealer, I put my faith in the drug dealer that he would show up. He responded with drugs, and those drugs were going to make me feel ease and comfort. Today, I don't need to put my faith in the drug dealer. I put my faith in the Lord, and he gives me ease and comfort in all my, you know, in everything. But the wisdom, the knowledge that it exposed was the lies or the distorted truths. Now he had access to distort God's truths because of the fall. You know, we allowed that into our lives. So when we start reading the word, we even start to see stories that I used to interpret in Catholic school or at church very differently than the way the Holy Spirit interprets it to me today. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my gosh, that's what that means. You know, that's why we need to read for ourselves, because God knows my heart. He knows my story. He knows what I need to break through those dark places or those walls, you know, another person doesn't.
Yeah, and you need a church too.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to be
Amen.
Going to, I don't care what church you go to, but you need to go to a church where somebody's opening up the word
That's
to
right.
you, opening up your eyes and showing you the scriptures, because people say, well, I don't need a church. I can do it for myself. Well, then I don't know why God made apostles and pastors and teachers. I guess he didn't have nothing to do that day, so he just thought he'd make some people, you know, a little different or something. But it's not that way. You need somebody who can break the word down for you. You'll be surprised how much just sitting like this and talking to each
right.
other breaks the word down for all of us, all three of us sitting here right now, and changes, you know, the way things are. And basically everything in the world that the devil tempts you with, or information you get, let's put it that way, always looks great. I mean, if drinking, if that's what you have struggle with, you're driving up in the red Corvette, and I mean, there's girls all around just whistling at you because you're having a drink, and boy, everybody's in love with you, and makes it look so good. You know, the drug things they show on TV, they never show anybody with side effects.
Yeah.
They show them leaping and jumping, and oh, yeah,
the list comes
I feel
out.
Great. Now, it's wonderful. Well, no, it's not wonderful because there's side effects or everything else. So you can't go by what you see and what you feel. That's why you got to get into this Word of God, which is really, you get right down to it, it's the constitution
yes.
of the kingdom of God. And in the constitution, basically, it has rules, it has laws, it has morals, it has everything, just like a regular government does. And basically, in the natural realm, you obey the law, you do fine. You disobey the law, there's punishment that takes place there. And the punishment doesn't come because somebody don't like you, it comes because you did not follow the law.
Right.
Always like the scripture in Joshua chapter 1 that helped me, chapter 1, look at verse 8. It says, This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do so according to all that is written therein. Now watch this. then you shall make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. When's God going to prosper me?
Right.
When God's going to make me successful?
Exactly.
When's as soon as you get back in line with the law and meditate the law and start obeying the law, it'll work out for you. But if you disobey the law, even the natural realm, you disobey the law, you're going to get in trouble before it's over with. That's just the way the law works. The law actually judges you. God doesn't even judge you in the spirit realm. It's the law that judges you. So if you don't want to forgive, then God cannot forgive you. It's the law. It's what's there. So you want to follow the law, basically, that's in this book. But how are you going to obey a law that you don't know?
That's right.
See, if you don't spend time in the Word of God, then you don't know the law. And if you don't obey the laws, then you don't get the benefits that come from the kingdom of God, which are massive benefits, you know, righteousness and peace and power and joy and finances all belong to us. But if you don't know how to keep the law, you could know the benefits and not get them, or you could know the benefits and not know the law not get them that way either. So it's a combination of going to the Constitution, finding out. I mean, this is really your handbook for life after you get born again. This is it. This is your magazine or whatever you need to read and find out all about the kingdom of God.
I wrote here on my notes that as we obey, or myself, I find, I'm going to speak for myself, as I obey the law, the word of God, you know, and we use obey, and it's about serving and honoring and love. The word obey for me today doesn't mean you're a slave. It means it's love, it's honor, it's respect. That's what obeying is for me today. And when I obey, respect, love the word, God loved me, he gave me the word, right? Then I can experience God, the kingdom of heaven in my life. But it's only through that. And I'm going to obey what I believe. The more I believe in who he is and his will and his desire and his plan and purpose for my life. And it's not because of my life to be better. It's for the reason why I'm here is to serve and obey him, is for his pleasure. You know, when I can let go of myself, self-centeredness, and put it into God-centeredness, my life changes. And I can go into it in a second. I was just sharing that, you know, I came home from a trip, and the house wasn't the way I left it. So it's like late at night, 2:30 in the morning, I'm mopping floors. And instead of murmuring and complaining, which I wanted to do, I had to start worshiping and praising and saying, thank you, Lord, that I can wash my floors on my, you know, I'm able to do this, because otherwise I would have gave it to the wrong side, the wrong kingdom. And I would have went to bed mad, wake up mad, you know, like, well, look at me, self-centered, you know, martyrism, all of that stuff can come in very, especially as a mom, because we do a lot, you know, I have to watch myself, you know, and a nurturer. So it's important for me also. My prayers have changed. They're not about praying for what I can get, but more what I can do in situations. You know, not what I can get out of situations. I don't ask God what I can do. I don't even ask God what I can do for him. I'm asking him what he is doing so that I can be available for him, you know. And only because of seeking, knowing the kingdom and the principles of the kingdom, and learning it through the word of God, you know, through Jesus is the greatest teacher. I mean, if you just read and you say that a lot, Pastor. So I bought a book with just Jesus, and it makes a lot of sense, even though it's all from, you know, different places in the Bible. And I sometimes just read that, just the read, and meditate on what he talks about. So it's important that we get in there, in the word.
Yeah, and the other word here, when you look at it, says seek ye first.
Right.
And the word first, of course, means first.
Prioritize.
So in my life, I had to make it the priority of my life for every day. And in order to do that, I had to set priorities the night before. Mm-hmm. In other words, I didn't get up and said, well, I should probably read for 15 minutes, but I ain't got a whole lot of time this morning. My hair isn't on right anyway. I want to get it fixed. And then you don't end up doing it. But I'll do it before I go to bed. And then you get to bed and you fall asleep. And so I had to make it my number one priority. I had to set a time and I had to meet that time. Mm-hmm. I had to be there. If I wanted to read something, I had to read something. If I was going to visit somebody in the hospital, something, then I'd set that time aside. But you got to put it first. And the Bible talks a lot about first. You know, one guy, he wanted to go help his dad who was dying. And Jesus said, well, first, you've got to do this. You know, it's got to be, somebody said, I'm leaving, I'll follow you, but I want to say goodbye first. Mm-hmm. And God, no, not first. And I had so many firsts in my life ahead of the kingdom that was down to about number 28 when I first started this. You know, if I got to it by number 28, but it doesn't work that way. You've got to put this first. You've got to make it your life study. You've got to make it your life's desire, because it's God's desire. This is why you were even put here to begin with the purpose of extending a kingdom. And you can't extend a kingdom. You don't even know the kingdom's there or anything about the kingdom.
Yeah.
So you feel unfulfilled. So what do? You drink, or you smoke, or you do this, or anything to fulfill, you think is going to fulfill what's on the inside of you. But it's all about God's plan and purpose for you in this life. And that's extending a kingdom that you got to know something about in order to extend it. Mm-hmm. I mean, most people say, I'm a kingdom person. What do you do? Well, I pray and ask God for this and ask God for that. Well, that's not what the kingdom's about, basically. If you just do what you're supposed to do, you won't have to worry about stuff, because your Father knows what you need, and
Amen.
He will take care of every single thing that you need. So
Amen.
We just follow the laws. We find a new law. You know, it's the instruction book. And there's so many people who I run into who are saved. They're born again. They don't say saved, born again, but saved, but same thing, if you really got born again. And they don't read the Bible. They don't even pick up the Bible. And they wonder why their life's just like it was before. It's because you're doing the same things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every decision that you make deals with a priority in your life. And when you got a priority to follow God and study His Word and obey His Word, then you're going to get results from the decisions you made. And as a matter of fact, wherever you're at right now is where you're at because you made decisions, and basically you got a result from that decision that you made. And if it was a bad decision, then you're getting bad results right now. So basically, we've got to put this first in our life. This is number one. This is what He says, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then, of course, we can get into righteousness, and all these things, of course, will be added unto you. But it's got to be first. It's got to be a priority, and priority saves time, and time is important.
Right,
because once we waste time, we can't get it back, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go back, but you can't go back anymore. So,
and you know, seeking God first, it's not about, well, if I don't, I'm going to go to hell, or He's going to be mad at me. He's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the benefit of the freedom of my life and the ability to extend the kingdom of God. It has nothing to do, oh, I missed it, oh my God, and feeling guilt and shame.
Yep.
He already forgave me.
Yep.
It's not about that. It's about what a transformation of the heart, a desire to line up with His desire to advance the kingdom, to want to serve people. It's obey God, serve others. That's how I look at it. It's like, okay, what does your word say? Well, how am I supposed to walk in this? How am I supposed to talk in this? How am I supposed to act in this way, in this situation in my life? In every situation in my life, God is doing something. It's up to me to see Him where He is at. And through knowing Him, that's the intimacy of the relationship, is knowing. Mm-hmm. You know, in the Bible it says, and Adam knew Eve, and then they had a son. That's intimate.
Right.
That's it's transparency. It's, you know, into me you see. It's like God knows everything about me, and He reveals everything about Himself in this word. And that's why there are no surprises when you know Him. And it's like, oh, how could this? No, things are happening in our lives. Yes, but if you know Him, He'll know. He'll He'll show you the steps where to go. He'll guide you through it. Right? And when we say seek first, last year, one of the things God said to me was, first thing first, seek the kingdom first. It's like, keep your priorities in order, and things will start to flow. It's like you let the dam open when you start your day. I start my day usually with, you know, sitting with the Lord. It doesn't always look the same,
mm-hmm.
but it's a conversation, or it may be a study. It might be just scriptures I'm reading. It might just be, you know, a chapter. I don't know what it's going to look like, but, you know, but I know that every morning my day starts with Him, and that's all He needs. Sometimes it's 5 minutes. Sometimes it's 2 hours. Sometimes it depends, you know, where He wants to go with it. But every time, it makes my day easier, because I will guarantee in my day that when I start with Him, through the day, He reveals part of that conversation to me,
mm-hmm.
or scripture that I read that day. And then I, oh, there it is. That's seeing Him. That's seeking the kingdom. There's the kingdom right there. He reminds us because he's with us. But if I don't know he's with me because I don't have that relationship, then I can't even hear him when I need him the most, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, and this is, I mean, we call it God's word. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it is. It's God's word. So the more time you spend listening to God in his word, the more you start to think like him, then you start to act like him, then you see what he sees rather than in the natural realm, and you start seeing things. But it all starts with a priority, and your priority don't have to be that long. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to go in your closet for 3 hours every morning before you go to work or something. I mean, I had basically almost a half hour is all I had. I was working 10 hours a day. I was running all over the place, but I was faithful to that and disciplined to that, and the more you do that, then you take him out of the closet with you rather than leaving him in the closet till you come back the next morning.
Yes,
you know,
amen.
That's it, God, you're done. Punch out, you're done for the day. No, you start carrying him with you. And so many times you get a word from God in the morning that really, really sounds good to you. And then later on you run into somebody and that's the word that they need more than I need, I think, sometimes. You know, I say, wow, that's why he told me that. You know, I knew that. Why? The Holy Spirit refreshes you. He brings the word back to you. Why? Because you're going to need it for a later situation in somebody else's life that you didn't even know you're going to need for to begin with. But that's walking with God now. Now you're walking with his voice. You're walking and he's there in every situation, and the word of God's there in every situation. He said, if the word abides in you and you abide in the word, then ask what you will and it will be done, and you'll produce much fruit. So, but you've got to start somewhere. You just can't, you know, be with him 10 minutes on Monday, then come back maybe on Thursday, or, you know, like I always say, get in trouble, then break glass. And pull the emergency God out and try to do it. It's more than that. It's a daily time with him, a daily walking with him, a daily awareness with him. And you get that once again by seeking first the kingdom of God and the kings in the kingdom of God. And basically you do got to make that first in your life. It's got to be the priority of your life. So every day you've got to find that time. And sometimes for me, it isn't even in the morning, even though it is.
Right.
You know, somebody calls me, needs me. Yeah. I don't have time to say, well, oh, you're dying? Okay, well, wait 45 minutes till I get with the Lord. Mm-hmm. No. You got to go right now, you know, but you still find time sometime during the day, you know, to separate that and put it in. And that's what you do for your priority. So priority has saved me a lot of time. It saved me from wasting a lot of time.
Right.
It saved me from messing up a lot of time. And, you know, when you don't have priorities, basically you do a lot of things and don't get anything done. You start this, don't get it done. Start that, don't get it done. Start because it wasn't your priority. You just thought you'd do it then, and then your mind switches and you go someplace else. But there's certain things got to be your priority. And according to him, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then really all these things will be added unto us.
Amen. And, you know, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness comes as you seek, because he's going to reveal what it is in his word, or even in your conversation with him. Like you said, the Holy Spirit will bring it up. So seek the kingdom first is any time of the day, especially when something's happening. I can get a phone call too. You got to come to New York. The first thing I do is seek the kingdom first. Is this the time you want me to come? You know, like, you should I be going? Making, you know, letting things, and things start to flow. There's somebody to take care of that. There's some, then things start to fall in place, and he shows me, okay, you're going to go there. So I had an opportunity to fly to New York during a family crisis, and so happened, we were supposed to be at a wake on Monday and then a celebration of life on Tuesday. There was a snowstorm, so I was going to go on Sunday. I mean, I was going to go on Monday or Sunday, right? But what happened, the snow. So I went a day earlier. Because I went a day earlier, I was able to be available to pray over this woman who was on her dying bed. They kept her organs alive because they found out, the family, that she was a donor. Nobody even knew. So, and then one of the daughters said to my daughter, do you remember when we were little kids, or to her, my daughter's fiance, mommy used to tell us to just call out for Jesus, because they weren't sure. My daughter wasn't sure if she was a believer. And I said, just whisper in her ear and she'll squeeze your hand. I said, well, there's your first squeeze. So I was able to go to the hospital. I didn't know they were going to have her, you know, still there. I thought the morgue had her or whatever, because we were going to do the celebration. And I was able to pray over her in spirit. I didn't even pray words. I was just holding her hand, praying in the spirit, because God knows what she needs, you know. But that was an opportunity to bring the kingdom, be in the kingdom, whatever it is, if it was for the family, whatever the purpose was. But there was an opportunity that I had to be able to pray in the spirit and let God do what God does, you know, through me in the natural for the family. And there was peace. and they allowed it. I didn't know, you know, and then I shared a little story about how God wants us to be fruitful and multiply, and her being able to donate her organs was a way of adding to the kingdom here on earth. And they loved that, you know. So those are the little things that we don't realize until we're in it, uh-huh. that we're doing for the Lord. Like, that was important to my daughter, and they mentioned it. So, you know.
Yeah, the kingdom of life's like one of those movies where you think you know what's going on, then all once everything switches, and then you think that we'll know what's going on again, something switches again, and pretty soon you don't know where in the heck you're going. You just keep going with whatever. Yeah, I had an opportunity to go see. I have a relation who ended up in an addiction center down here, basically, and so I went in to see her the other day, and she's Catholic, I know, but I want to make sure people are born again, so I go in and I'm talking to her, but I just not, you know, sometimes you feel like you're connecting, and sometimes you feel like you're totally wasting your time.
Right.
And I'm sitting there, and we're talking. I'm visiting her for about an hour and a half. We're talking all the time. I don't even feel like praying for her or trying to lead her in the prayer or anything else. It's just not working. So some other lady comes out, and all they got to sit is in the front lobby. So this other lady and her husband came over here with their little child, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, help me here, Lord, help me to get through to her somehow. Mm-hmm. And God starts speaking and said, well, there's severe depression there. I said, well, she don't look that depressed. He said, no, the girl over there. I said, oh, that one over there.
Amen.
Oh yeah, I can see the depression. And all at once he starts tell me what to do with her.
Praise
and just
God.
Put this off the side. So after the hour and a half, I stood up, I walked over and said, hey, do you suffer from depression? You do, don't you? She said, yeah, that's my problem. So I got to lay hands on her and pray for her. And then I found out after that, the girl I was talking with said, oh, that's my roommate. So I'm praying that God set her free, touched her. Maybe she can go back and get to the other person that I couldn't get to, and I'll go around in a circle, and they'll both get saved before it's over with. I mean, I don't know. But once again, I didn't go there looking for someone else to minister to or anything else. And you start to get a little disappointed when it seems like you're not, you know, like you're talking to a wall or something, because they just won't receive anything. So, I mean, it's an exciting life.
It is.
You don't know what's going on half the time, but that's okay, you know, because it all works out before it's over with. So, yeah.
Because he always knows what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he knows everybody's heart and everybody's mind. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and when you're praying for people, pay attention to the thoughts that come in your head like that, because you'll just think it's your own thoughts. And I was just sharing how, because a group I've been helping some, the Lord gave me a few words of knowledge, and they're like, how'd you know that? I was like, I wasn't even sure. It just sounds, I said, when the Lord speaks like that through thought, it just... The name came to me, then I seen someone's face with the same name, and then one of the people, the main guy that's teaching the study, he goes, man, when we're praying for people, I think of names, I didn't, and then he's given names at his workplace, and they're like freaking out, because he's like, do you need to forgive, he's really good, I never even thought about it, he says, you know, he goes, I'll pray with you, and when they do the forgiveness thing, and he goes, man, I don't know anybody with the name, da, 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 and they're like, and God's just been given names. And I did want to say the submitting is submit to God. It's like, you know, it's imagine you had a 3-year-old that's trying to tell you how to run your life, and you're like, look, I'm the dad, okay? You need to do this or that. Well, that's the way we are. When we obey a lot of the Bible, then we think we know more than God on this. He really is looking at this day and hour for people to come obedience in the little things that make no sense to you. Just because you think that's not the better way, or I should do this first. When that unction comes from the Lord, be obedient in that, and you're going to see things change and other things, you know?
Yeah. So submit, that's another word for obedience, thanks. Because sometimes people have a hard time with words like obedient or serving and, you know, doing things like, saying words like that. So submit to the Lord.
And I always say you're not submitting till you disagree. Oh, I'm submitted to him. I'm like, well, you're not submitted till you disagree. You're just in agreement with him. Yeah. You'll know the person's not going to submit. You know, wait till you disagree, then see if you submit. You're not submitting when you both want to do something.
Right.
That's very common.
I had another opportunity, which was really beautiful too. During that time in New York, I brought one book with me, Pastor Tom, because I had to bring one little bag. I packed, and I brought one book of Pastor Tom's Kingdom Now with me, and I was there for a couple of days. It was during, I didn't know anybody there. I didn't know, you know, the guests that were coming to my daughter's house. And I was there for, you know, I helped my daughter set up and everything, talking to everyone and this family I had spoken to earlier. And then they just happened to be next to me, and we were talking, and I shared about, you know, being on the worship team and part of, and she goes, oh, I just started going to a Christian church. And she told me, she started revealing her life and her children, making, you know, one of her sons is gay. And but God loves him, and he believes in Jesus. So I didn't, you know, like you were saying, sometimes we need to know when to fold them and when to hold them. Yep. And, you know, so I'm just in prayer as I'm talking, you know, like, Lord, how do you want to, you know, where, how do you want to move forward in this? And so we talked about just, you know, honoring the word and the difference between, well, you know, somebody who lies and cheats, it's the same, it's sin. You know, and so she was very open to all of that too. And I gave her a book. I said, I have a book. So she got the book. I was able to put my number so that if she did want to talk or, you know, get more into a conversation with me, she could, not in that environment. Mm-hmm. But it was an opportunity, yep, to pass on kingdom now, kingdom mentality, maybe enlighten her understanding of what God is saying in the word, you know, and also a personal contact with someone that is in the kingdom, like myself, you know, a number. Because when we disciple, we need to not just say, oh, you're saved, okay, and move on. Mm-hmm. It's about staying with that person or directing that person to where, if you can't be with that person, into the direction where they can be part of a body, part of a church, part of, you know, a community that is walking in the same direction. That's very important, because there are a lot of people that I hear, oh, when I got born again, you know, I started just living my life, doing my own thing. Somebody walked me through a prayer. But that's not discipleship. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to direct people to get to a relationship with him, to be able to understand the kingdom and their position in the kingdom.
Yeah, and that's where the fivefold too, though. Like, you could take an evangelist and a teacher or pastor to a neighborhood and say, here, go knock on doors and lead the Lord. In 30 minutes, the other guy's up and he's, I read 32 people of the Lord, and where's us so-and-so? Oh, he's still at the first house. And they're like, no, we got to disciple these people. They're not going to do any good just leading the Lord. And they're both right. You know what I mean? They're mm-hmm. both in, have different positions. Like, that anointing just kind of draws you to do whichever you're anointed to do. It doesn't mean they don't need to be taught. The evangelist and the pastor or teacher need to work together. Hey,
yes,
I led in the Lord. Let's get
yes.
some people in there.
So when you
and
do.
We can all just come together instead of
Amen.
Judging the one as being wrong and then let's judge the other one's being wrong.
Amen.
You know, we need to.
Yeah, amen. That's the whole idea, is to know what everyone, you know, that's why knowing the kingdom and like what you're saying, like in your finances, in your family, there's positions that people have for with a purpose. God didn't, he designed the kingdom and the purpose of, like, because I know the kingdom, I know that if I did, because, you know, I could maybe lead someone to Christ, and then I do discipleship with someone that was already led to Christ. But knowing that that's what God intends for all of us, not just to, you know, and knowing who to reach out to, like, you know, I gave the information of our church, or even, she goes, do you know any church in here? I did do some research because I have a family member who was asking me, and she started going to a church in New York. So I was able to, and that was only 2 weeks ago, pass on that information. See, but so we don't even know when we're helping one person, we're gathering the information for ourselves to give over and over again. It's like being fruitful and multiplying. Mm-hmm. He'll multiply it. So I was able to give the same information twice.
And a lot of people are messed up because the church has given the wrong message.
Yeah, amen.
They've given the message you get born again. The only reason why you get born again is so you can go to heaven. Mm-hmm. So people get mm-hmm. born again. They're ready to go to heaven. They figure that's it. They're waiting until they die to go to heaven. But Jesus never said anything about heaven.
That's right.
When he just said born again, he said you enter a kingdom of God and then mm-hmm. you grow in that kingdom. But once a person gets saved, if they're told they're going to heaven, they just do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. Don't grow. Don't do nothing. Why I'm going to heaven, that's my whole goal anyway. But that's not your goal. Heaven is a byproduct of entering the kingdom of God that came to you as, you know, a blessing that came into your life. So in the kingdom of God, as you study, like you say, and get discipled, that's the time you're going to reach out to other people.
Mm-hmm.
See, if you just get born again right away and you're still drowning,
Right.
You know, he's still swirling. You got the lifesaver hanging on to as tight as you can because your world's a total mess. It's very hard to minister to somebody else when you're drowning.
Right.
But when you start walking in the kingdom of God and start walking in victory and start walking in, it's like hitting the lottery. You know, you want to tell everybody about the lottery because I won $1 million. Well, when I got in the kingdom of God, I won $1 million. Yeah. I was made righteous. I was made holy. Yeah. I was blessed. I was empowered. I was healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I've got, you know, all these blessings come our way, and the church has taught those are future things, but they're not future things. The kingdom is now, and so is every benefit, blessing, and even heaven's for now.
That's right.
You can tap into heaven today. You don't have to wait till you die and go there, for goodness sakes. It's a real place, and God's there, and He'll give you things from heaven that you need just by connecting with Him. So it seems like, you know, we get people born again, then we push everything off that's good off into the future. Then you're supposed to go out and witness, and what have I got to witness about? Well, I prayed a prayer, and I'm going to heaven. What's that? Well, I prayed a prayer and I'm going to heaven. What are you going to do now for the next 40 years? Well, I prayed the prayer. I guess I'm just going to wait and go to heaven sometime, you know? And that's not what it's all about. It's a short period of time down here. When you get to be my age, it's a real short. It seems really short. You know, when you're younger, you think you're going to live for like 4,000 years. But as you get older and time gets, you know, less, you're starting to think, man, I've got to get with the program. I don't want to waste time anymore. I want to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things then. And that's another thing you'll get delivered from. Is things when you seek the kingdom of God. Before that, all we did was seek things. We thought, try to get things through God rather than going to God and getting things.
That's right.
And it was a complete opposite of the two because things, you know, that's what we equate, let's face it, famous with.
Yeah.
They got money, if they got this, if they got that, then they're famous and they're successful. Well, they could be on their way to hell and they're not successful at all. I don't care how many millions they have. So it's not about things.
That's really. Right. It's not about things. And we relate it to, you know, especially in the 12-step program, security, social needs, security, and producing. Those are the things that we all seek here on earth. You know, that'll make us, you know, prosperity, producing, work. Security and our social environments, and God says those aren't the things we should be looking for. He'll provide everything we need in those areas as we move forward. Yeah, we have 1 minute, so I want you to pray for everyone if you have anything else you want to say.
Well, I mean, if you've listened to this program today, which you probably have, I mean, we've told you what to do. We've made it very simple. You mean, what, should I start in Jeremiah? Should I start here? Should I start there? Should I start over here? No, just start where we told you. Go to Matthew 6:33. I would read the whole chapter, but I would start on my daily time to seek first the kingdom of God, to discover the kingdom, what it's like, what happens there, how it operates, what goes on. And you'll start to progress in your relationship with God and the things of God. So I'm asking you to do what you've heard here. Oh, that's great. We were listening to him. No, I want you to do that. Father, I just pray that the Spirit of God on the inside of every born-again person would rise up who's listening to this, and those who are not born again, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to work on their hearts right now and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you for what you did in this program.
Yes.
We thank you for what you're doing in the hearts and minds of the people who are here. And for everything that's done, of course, we give you all the praise and all the glory, because we can only do it because of what you've done for each and every one of us. We thank you and give you the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody say,
Amen. Shalom, shalom. We agape you. And we hope you have a wonderful week. And remember, seek first the kingdom of God. Amen.
Romans 12:2 says, And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Alzheimer's or dementia are terrible diseases affecting 7 million. Memory issues can be driven by the large number of medications that seniors take. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has a proprietary tool that identifies drug-to-drug interactions that cause cognitive impairment and then prescribes alternatives. In the study of the Alzheimer's Treatment Center's protocol, 75% of the patients had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. Now open in Port St. Lucie, they may be reached at ATCA.AI or 772-298-4477.
Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton of Just a Voice Radio Ministry, broadcasting here on WCNO 89.9, Saturdays, 5 a.m. and p.m. Come on and join us. Hope to see you there.